What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Who's ready? It's time for the biggest eyewear and eye care event of the season, Vision Expo East. Glasses addicts and eye care pros will be taking New York City by storm March 21st to the 24th, and we can't wait to see you guys there. Vision Expo East is a one-stop complete event for ophthalmic professionals where eye care meets eyewear, and education, fashion, and innovation all combine for a can't-miss event. At Vision Expo East, you'll experience the latest industry advances in contact lenses, solutions, therapeutics, and leading-edge medical and diagnostic equipment. There are over 300 hours of education with new courses and specialty tracks, including a new myopia track and leadership forum, where you'll master public speaking and storytelling with interactive workshops. On the show floor, you can shop more than 5,000 fashion and luxury brands for an unforgettable buying experience. And the new exhibit hall neighborhoods are making their debut at Vision Expo East. The Block and Next are highlighting celebrity-designed eyewear and emerging designers, and the Career Zone is a new destination for corporate optical companies and attendees to network and meet face-to-face. Speaking of networking, the opportunities at Vision Expo are unparalleled. Mix and mingle with the brightest stars and movers and shakers in eye care at show floor receptions, the ODs on Facebook party, and the Vision Expo opening party, just to name a few. The relationships and experiences you create at Vision Expo East extend long after you leave the show floor. This year, Defocus Media listeners can enjoy free registration to the event. All you have to do is just head over to http://visionexpony2019.com/DFM. We can't wait to see you guys there.
And for today's podcast.
Well, hello, Defocus Media listeners. It's Jennifer Lyerly, and I am back for another podcast with Dr. Daryl Glover. How are you doing today, Daryl?
Jennifer, I'm great because it's that time of the year. You know what conference is coming up?
We are right on the verge of Vision Expo East.
You got it. You got it. And this year, I know they have a ton of great speakers, just like they do every year. Who are we interviewing today, Jen?
Well, we're previewing one of the highlights of the conference this year. Please welcome to the show our guests, Dr. Mick Kling and Mr. Roberto Monaco.
Hello, everyone. This is Mick. So glad to be here, guys. Thank you.
Hello, hello. This is Roberto.
So, fellas, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Hi, my name is Roberto Monaco here, and I work with Influenceology as my company for 10 years now. And what I do, I teach leadership communication skills, and I help entrepreneurs to both acquire and retain more patients with communication. And I'm super excited to be speaking at the Vision Expo this year.
And my name is Mick Kling. I'm an optometrist from San Diego. And I was approached by Vision Expo to help put together a leadership program that we're going to be launching for the first time in 2019. And I'm so excited to be working with my good friend Roberto Monaco and just really looking forward to seeing the information he's going to provide for us.
Well, fellas, Jen and I are thrilled that you're on the podcast, and we're even more excited that you guys are collaborating with Vision Expo this year with their first ever leadership forum. We're so excited about this because this is something that the industry truly needs. Before we get started, let's just define what leadership is.
Leadership, the art of leadership for me is the capacity to move people into action with integrity.
And leadership for me is being able to set an example with integrity in order to move people in the direction that they need to be moved.
Roberto, why don't you tell us a little bit about Influenceology and what inspired your passion for educating others about public speaking?
So I work for Tony Robbins for 6 years. And my role with Tony Robbins was to do presentations. So I was doing around 400 presentations a year in many different industries. And I realized that every single leader that was creating a big impact in the marketplace, they're able to tell their stories effectively. So when I left the Anthony Robbins companies in 2008, I decided to become a speaking coach and really help entrepreneurs to be able to communicate effectively in the marketplace and use communication, either one-on-one, video, podcast, or in groups to both educate and acquire more clients.
Yeah, I think that's something that we definitely need in the world of eye care, simply because us as optometrists, you know, we are dealing with patients, people every single day, and we're having a conversation, we're having a dialogue, and to be able to convey our message in an effective way is huge. And I know you, Roberto, you have a lot of great tips, and one of the main things that you really push is just making sure that you connect with them on a strong emotional level. Could you talk about that a little more in detail?
Yes. So one of the the things that is really important for every entrepreneur is to be able to tell stories. And stories are so effective because when you tell a story, you create something called identification. And identification happens when you tell a story in front of, again, could be one person, two people, three people. And once the audience can see himself or herself relating to the character, resistance goes down. It's a very important point because when you tell a story, the person goes, wow, you know, this person, this character is just like me. And the moment when you created this identification or this connection, resistance goes down. And when you have less resistance and more connection, you increase the likelihood of create influence to move people into action.
Dr. Kling, with you working so closely with optometrists around the country, have you seen some common weaknesses that maybe we as optometrists have in the area of public speaking?
Yeah, and I'll just give you a little background sort of how I met Roberto, because this was really ties into where I was professionally. I was starting to get more and more speaking gigs and really enjoying that. And I knew that I wanted to get better at it. And so I attended one of Roberto's 3-day speaking training events, which was phenomenal. Just 3 days of really intense training about how to be a more effective communicator. But what I wasn't prepared for, what I didn't expect, was all the leadership stuff, all the stuff that was around our own body language and our own behaviors and our own facial expressions and that sort of thing. And so one of the things that I think we as leaders in eye care don't quite get is some of the human psychology of how our behavior and our action within our practice and how that impacts our staff and how it impacts our patients actually has a huge impact on how successful we are as practitioners. It is no coincidence that some of the best practices are run by some of the most dynamic leaders. You know, you don't have practices that are wildly successful typically with a very withdrawn leader. You have somebody who's really understands how they influence other people, their ability, as Roberto said, to tell stories and to connect with people. So I think in our profession of optometry, we don't really quite grasp the power that we have in influencing those that we lead, both our patients and our staff that report to us.
You make such a good point about the leadership we have within our own office. But when I first started practicing, I always kind of felt like I was having difficulty with patients. My patients would make comments about how young I looked or did I just graduate, things like that. And I kept thinking it was my appearance. That's what was wrong. But then I started noticing how I was speaking, how I was entering the room. And really, like, your appearance, yes, is one thing, but it's all about that self-confidence, even when you walk in and introduce yourself and start the exam process. And I've kind of learned from looking back on it, like, the appearance actually matters a lot less than the authority you have when you start the entire exam.
I know. I think that's a great point. One of the things that I'll be discussing during our class, the leadership forum, I'll be talking about identity. And what happens is that we have, for example, when you're a doctor, you have this very strong identity. You know, I'm a doctor. And being a doctor is one identity and you behave like a doctor. But being a leader, being a communicator, being an entrepreneur is a different identity. So one of the concepts that I'll be talking about is called identity expansion. Because when you change how you see yourself, your audience change how you see you. And we just said here, Jens, that when you change how you see yourself, when you start walking differently, when you have a different perception, people start reacting differently to your behavior, you know? And because of that, you'll be able to move your patients into action more effectively.
Well, Daryl, this sounds like a class that you probably just naturally already had. But one of the other, I think, areas that in the exam room we sometimes struggle with is that awkward moment when the doctor is transferring the patient to the optician and making a handoff for recommendation for the purchase of eyewear. And Daryl's always been really good at this, but I know doctors naturally kind of sometimes struggle as you move from doctor exam room mode to a potential more like a sales mode. What are some of the key characteristics of body language and behavior that you think happened during that you guys might be discussing at the leadership forum?
Yeah, I'll just say Roberto's really going to be the expert on this, but I'll tell you some of the things that I've learned. I've been in practice for about 25 years, and I have to tell you, I still have that uncomfortable feeling when I leave that exam room and head out into the retail space. And I'm not exactly sure where that comes from, but I think a lot of us struggle with that, and it definitely gets better with time and with experience. But one of the things that I've noticed is that when you put yourself in a place of genuine concern for the patient that you're caring for, a lot of the apprehension that you have goes away. In other words, when your focus becomes not on you, but on them, suddenly all those things that were sort of holding you back and maybe making you pause go away. And Roberto masterfully addressed that in our speaking training, in that when you take your focus off of yourself and you put your focus on your audience, suddenly you become authentic and you become real and you become believable. And so what I try to do is just put myself in the position of, what am I really trying to accomplish? And what's the spirit that I'm coming from? And it needs to be coming from a position of doing what's right for them.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, for me, I love the doctor-patient interaction, that doctor optical transfer. I think one of the key things is us as optometrists, us as eye care professionals, we're great at prescribing medically, but when it comes to the retail aspect, we think it's completely different. But in reality, it's not. It's the same thing. You know, you're solving a problem for a patient. And if you're putting that patient first and telling them what problem you're solving, whether it's, you know, anti-reflective coating because of glare issues or eye fatigue and you're having a blue light protector, you're solving a problem for that patient. So we should have that same confidence that we have when we're prescribing medically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things too, also, I think that the majority of professionals out there, the majority of doctors, they have limiting beliefs about sales. They don't like to sell. And because they don't like to sell, they feel super uncomfortable. So we gotta address the cause. And the cause usually is one, is a limiting belief about what sale means, why they don't like to sell. Number two, once you address that belief, then you gotta rehearse, because you have to be able to rehearse your sales presentation. Could be a 30-second recommendation. But once you rehearse and once you make your words your own, there's a lot of power. I always tell my clients that your sales presentation must be your favorite part of consultation. If it's not your favorite part, because truly that's how you're gonna help someone. And if it's not your favorite part of a presentation, then you gotta do some work. And that's why you have in the leadership forum.
Yeah, absolutely. And Roberto, that whole issue of rehearsing and scripting what your message is, mm-hmm. is so, so fundamentally important. And we see that in our practices, especially with new staff members, when we're trying to get them to be able to communicate effectively with our patients. And, you know, they all cringe when we come at them with a script. And the idea is not to put them in a box and force them to say words in a very particular way, but we want to get a certain message across. And we, as the doctors in the practice, need to take that same advice, and we need to find those scripts for ourselves that come from us, that come from our heart, and that are true to us, to be able to deliver that message effectively. And I think about every time we get a new piece of technology in the office, how it takes a while for us to learn how to talk about it effectively. You know, for the first few times we stumble over our words, we're not sure what to say, but then taking the time to sit down and then role play makes such an important impact on the way we're able to deliver that message to the patient.
It's just like a movie, you know, your favorite movie. The actor is delivering a line and we believe it, right? And our problem is, most of the professionals, they don't have a good association with a sales training or rehearsing a script. Therefore, they don't like to do training or rehearsing, and then they go in front of the patient and they don't do a good job. So our job for key presentations is to deliver a message from the heart that is congruent, yes, is effective. And what I found, the difference between the average presenters to the amazing leaders, is that leadership, they take the time to develop the message, to develop the scripts, and to practice them.
And I also would say one of the most valuable things that I got out of Roberto's IFF course was this whole idea that he just addressed, which is these limiting beliefs. That's something that I know he's going to get into in this leadership forum. But, you know, we all have that negative voice on our shoulder that's telling us all the reasons why we can't or shouldn't do something, why we're not good enough, why our opinion doesn't matter, why we're not important, why would anybody care to listen to me? And that is a very, very important thing to understand that's happening. And one of the great exercises that Roberto had us do is he had us visualize a table, and he said, I want you to write, and in fact, I think there was actually a picture of a table, and he said, I want you to write on the legs of that table all of the things that you believe you have to offer to somebody. So on the tabletop, you're going to put what it is that you're trying to accomplish, but the legs are going to support that vision that you have. And I want you to write all the things, and it forces you to get out of your limiting beliefs into a position of, you know, I do have something to say. It is important what the message that I have. And you can take that concept and you can apply it to even the most simple things in your life, such as walking a patient to optical and saying, these are my recommendations and these are why. Because we're not limited by all the feelings of, I don't like selling, I don't like this is beneath me. I don't feel comfortable. I'm not trained to do it. So that whole limiting belief concept is such an empowerful concept that he can get into.
Now, Jen, in the beginning, you asking me about influenceology a little bit and why I developed and why I created 10 years ago. I believe that any successful entrepreneur, business owner, we have to be able to master the three levels of influence. The first level is your capacity every single day to influence yourself into action. Because most entrepreneurs, sometimes you have a plan and you know what to do, but you don't do what we know. So that's level one. We got to be able to influence ourselves into action consistently. How do you do that? How do you do that without forcing, right? You do that by being super clear about your vision, where you're going. Two, be super clear about your identity, who you are. And number three, you are clear about your company, your office, and your personal values. So you experience them daily, right? So that's level one. Level two of influence is about influence the person, the patient that you're talking at, maybe a team member, the person that you're talking to. And that happens in this field every single day, you know, hundreds of days, hundreds of times a week. And then the level three, which I'm super passionate about it, and I'm going to be introducing a lot of ideas as well, in the third part of our training, is how to influence the masses. You know, I see very few eye care professionals actually using video marketing, social media to create a bigger impact. Like, for example, look at us here. We're recording a podcast right now to hopefully to impact the lives of many people here. And I feel like now we have so many technological tools that allow the doctor to lead their community, to lead their marketplace, to create a bigger impact if they're able to be in front of a camera and tell their story effectively, tell their patient stories. So that's something I'm very passionate about. It. And you're only able to create a movement in your community, in your marketplace, if you have mastered level one, level two. So that's why we developed this course. And you're going to be addressing during the Vision Expo, the three levels, influence yourself into action, one-on-one, and one-to-many.
That's so exciting. I mean, obviously, just listening to what you guys plan on covering, you can see clear takeaways on how these are changes that you as a doctor can make that are going to influence the success of your practice. But, you know, one of the things you just mentioned on level three there that, of course, Daryl and I using social media and so much of that to get our words out about optometry is I want to get your opinion. A doctor that's really interested in getting more active in their community, growing their patient base through online and social media. Do you have any like some take home messages right now on making that more effective for them? Because many doctors I think are trying, but aren't feeling like their social media is working for them.
Well, without seeing the Facebook or the channel or Instagram, it's hard to give my feedback. But overall, I think the way I recommend our clients, number one, is to be consistent. I think consistency is key in social media. Number two, I personally believe that's one of my core values is that leadership is about communication. So what happens is that I believe that the doctor should be able to be in front of a camera to record videos, to teach, to educate, and to deliver results in advance. Results in advance meaning that the doctor is able to educate about new technologies, about the new service they're offering. And so when they create this brand, this persona in the marketplace. That's why I'll be talking about storytelling, because I want to make sure the doctors are able to lead with their stories and the stories that are created in their practices from their patients.
Yeah, Jen, I agree with him 100%. I think consistency is a major thing, but I also want to say being passionate about whatever you're talking about. You know, if you're in an exam room and you have something that you specialize in, whether it's dry eye, whether it's sports vision, you know, kind of incorporate that into that social media realm, whether it's on LinkedIn, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, you know, talk about a story of something that you did that's personal that people can see the passion or hear the passion in your voice. And I think that goes a long way.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you guys really nail it. I think where doctors feel like they're not having effective communication with their social media platforms is when they're using stock photos, when they're posting generic messages, when they're too perfectionist to put themselves behind the camera or take pictures of themselves or talk about themselves more personally online. And you see that big separation when a doctor is willing to put themselves out there. And before we started recording, we were talking about like okay, video. Having a uber polished video as a doctor may actually hurt things a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, you don't want to put like a bad video with a bad sound and bad lighting. Obviously, we don't want to do that because I think that's going to damage a little bit the brand of your office or practice. But if you say a little ums, here's and then, or if you make a little mistake, it's not a big deal at all, because that's actually going to increase your credibility and you're going to increase your, hey, this doctor, super smart, wants to help me, but he at some level, just like me, you know, make a couple mistakes here and there when he talks. So that's okay. I mean, literally, it humanizes your communication. You asked me, Jen, about one of the tips that a doctor can do today. So this is super simple. Is start write every single question your patients ask you. For real, you start writing down. Have a journal, online document, a Word document, and start capturing every single question they ask you. Eventually, you're going to create a library of content, okay? Because you go in the camera, the average viewing time is 2 minutes. So go and create a habit of recording 2 quick videos a week, 2 minutes. Make sure you have a good light, a good microphone, and you're in business. So you become the chief storyteller officer in your practice, and you tell your story. Sometimes when you get a little bit more comfortable in front of a camera, you can interview patients, you know, ask their participation as well. And you start, because a lot of people, they go, okay, I get it. Video marketing is big for my practice, but what I'm going to say, no, they record one video, two videos, they stop. So consistency is key. And the way you become consistent is to have several ideas. How you do that? Create a journal or a place where you can capture all these questions of your patients, and eventually have 30, 40, 50 different questions, and you have a really cool video library. And don't underestimate the power of YouTube. I mean, really don't, because YouTube is powerful. So create a brand around about yourself, about your practice.
Wait, that's a great... Great.
Yeah, such an interesting concept. I think that, you know, ask any optometrist, you know, we all get asked the same 20 questions. And I think that's brilliant to suggest that, hey, let's write those questions down. We have answers to those questions, and just put a camera in front of you and answer them that way. What an empowering way for you to learn to connect with your patients on a much higher level when you're taking the time to express those answers to them. And you know, most of our websites have a frequently asked questions section, but could you imagine if it was just a bunch of videos with the doctor answering those personally? I think that's really an interesting idea.
And there's one more thing I want to add here to the conversation is this. In the persuasion research community, they talk about persuasion before you meet someone, during and after. And what happens is that sometimes we just do a really good job during the practice when you talk, when you're doing examination, but you forget the patients before or after, right? So before they come in. So how about recording maybe a 2 minute video when people have a patient has a consultation, for example, and you can send a video introducing yourself in your practice, even before they show up, before they actually meet you. And how about when they do a consultation and they become a patient, and then after a follow through, because you want to be able to retain your patients long term, and you can record some videos who are very strategically that you can record and send before the consultation. Then obviously you do during the consultation and then after the consultation.
That's smart. Dr. Klink, I wanted to ask you a little bit, you know, so many great tips that doctors are going to take away from this leadership forum, but do you feel like now more than ever, it's important for our optometrists and eye care providers as a whole to be more vocal, more active, speaking to the broader community and public, not just patients in your chair, but putting a voice out there on the digital space, meeting with community leaders? Because of all the pressures that we're seeing from digital disruptors and even like these consolidating competitors coming in within our space?
That is such a great question. You know, there are market forces right now that are trying to define our profession. And for those of us in private practice, we have a definition of what our profession, and for those in private equity have a slightly different definition, and then those that are highly retail have a different definition. And we have to just be careful that we are defining the profession in a way that we want it to be defined. And that does mean going beyond just the exam chair and being able to communicate our message to a larger audience. no time ever in history have we had the ability to communicate to so many people for free. I mean, can you imagine the ability to communicate literally to the entire world through technology that doesn't cost us anything? It's amazingly powerful. And I think that we just need to decide as a profession how we are going to position ourselves going forward. We can't do things the way that we used to do them. The world is changing around us. And if we're going to continue to be impactful in our businesses, we have got to learn to do things differently and communicate our message. And as Roberto says, tell our story much more effectively.
Yeah, I mean, we have to speak loudly about what's going on in the world of eye care. I mean, just look at myopia. Look at, you know, people are aging or living longer. You know, you got macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy out there. And if we just continue just to talk to that person that's sitting in our chair, we're not doing our job as optometrists. We really need to speak up and utilize these platforms that we have, such as Instagram Live, Facebook Live, and all these other platforms out there that the world can hear us with.
I have one of my sayings. I have some core sayings that I live by. And one of them is this: if you don't share your story, the marketplace will create one about you. And so every single day is a reminder for me to go and tell my story and the story of our company and the story of our clients so that we can create a bigger impact. So communication has to be consistent. And I believe that and once the doctor becomes more comfortable, for example, speaking in front of a camera and recording videos, actually doing Facebook Lives or YouTube or Instagram videos is super fun. So we're going to be discussing that as well at the Leadership Forum.
So obviously Leadership Forum, you need to sign up now. That's the takeaway from today's podcast. I'm super excited. Anything else at Vision Expo East that you guys are really looking forward to?
Well, I just want to say how much I appreciate Vision Expo allowing me to help them develop this program, because I feel like it's such an important part of who we are as a profession, and their willingness to take somewhat of a risk and go down a path that's not about, you know, all the clinical stuff that we're used to learning about, but really about helping us become better people. And I think when these organizations and these meetings will invest in us, or at least provide the forum to allow us to learn to be better at what we do, I think it just raises the game for everybody. So I'm just very grateful to Vision Expo for the opportunity to be able to be with Roberto and get this program put together.
Yeah, I am so excited. If you want to learn more about the program per se, in a nutshell, we're going to have three major sections. The first section is going to be the psychology of leadership and success. I'll be talking about identity, about being clear about your values, about belief systems, about defining clear our purpose in business. That's the first part. The second part will be talking about effective communication. Specifically, I'll be talking about storytelling and the different types of stories doctors got to be able to tell, not only one-on-one in front of a patient, but to the masses. And then the third part is going to be the execution and action plan. I'm going to give ideas on how to get your message and your story and use video marketing and public speaking communication skills to reach as many people as possible in your community.
Awesome. I'm so excited about the Leadership Forum. I think leadership is one of those key things that can really take a practice to the next level. And I'm so grateful for Vision Expo for incorporating this into their conference. The Leadership Forum will have three classes, and they're all going down on March 21st. The first class is Psychology and Leadership, which goes from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., followed by Effective Communication from 3:45 to 4:45. And then lastly, they have Action Planning and Execution Strategy from 5 to 6 p.m. You want to make sure that you show up to this, because it's going to change the game for you guys in the practice. Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.